Okay, hey everyone, it is Tuesday, October 26th. Coming up on today's show, we are inches away from a stimulus plan, finally. So what are the final sticking points? We're going to go through everything that we know this morning.
And you know that rental assistance money that's supposed to be, you know, helping people pay their rent? Turns out that money is missing in action. We're going to try and figure out where the heck did it go?
Well, how convenient. How convenient we can't find this money and no one's getting access to it. Also this morning, we're looking at the universal basic income. We've been talking about the idea of providing a sort of monthly stipend to Americans to like a safety net to make sure that they're taken care of. We're going to tell you about the largest ever rollout of universal basic income. It is starting in the United States. We'll tell you which major city is going to employ this. Morning Invest starts right now. Welcome into Morning Invest. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
Top of the muffin to you. Please don't forget, we've got a daily morning newsletter that we publish every day, Monday through Friday. So please go to morninginvest.com and subscribe to the newsletter. It's totally free. You can read it over your cup of coffee or your cup of tea or your cup of water in the morning. And you'll be more informed, right?
Absolutely. So it's me and Clayton, and we have one other writer that helps us out. This morning, I found the story at the top of the newsletter, and I was like, I don't know if you want to publish that story, but oh yeah, he did it. He's going to show you why Disney fans are asking the parks to censor t-shirts, because one couple wore an offensive t-shirt. And if you read your newsletter this morning, we'd love your opinion of whether or not you should wear said shirts.
How many people know about it? If you know about it, drop it in the chat here.
And tell us what you think. Yes to the shirts. We've never been that family that wears matching shirts like Morris Reunion or Morris Summer Vacation 2021.
Yeah,
not that Clayton hasn't tried, but we just have never done it. And we also haven't taken it that much further.
No, but I could see the benefit of wearing some of those shirts at the park, because then you don't get lost. Like if it's like yellow and you see all of your yellow friends.
I get that. We've also done the squeaky shoes where we put our little girls in the sandals that squeak, and that made Clayton absolutely crazy. So, do you know what those are, David? They're like little tiny sandals.
No.
And every time they walk, it's like squeak, 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 squeak.
Oh,
and
no.
It's fine in the park, but when you're leaving the hotel at like 7:30 for breakfast, Clayton was like, pick her up right now.
Yeah, it was like,
so could you imagine if 1,000 people had the same idea? Gosh.
Oh my God. It was like a cacophony. It was like, I'm like, oh my God, it's so embarrassing.
This was all the rage in like 2014.
There were some families who were like, that's
out
cute.
Now.
They said that, oh, that's cute for like the first few seconds. Like she's walking through the restaurant playing. And then after like 5 minutes of this like squeakathon, I'm like, you know, like the parents are like, okay, we get the joke. The joke's now over.
Yeah. Also, I'd rather see a baseball park too.
I'd rather see them on leashes and choker chains than hear squeaky shoes.
The children.
The children, yes. With the leashes. I love that.
Actually, my dad put me on a leash the first time we visited New York City when I was 8 years old.
He thought it was an awesome. Telling your mother,
this was like,
you need to put this girl on a leash.
No, because this was the 80s, New York City in the 80s, where there was like stabbings in the subway every 5 minutes and stuff. You know, it was just like, this was our idea of it. And he was like, I'm not losing these kids. And then like that became a thing, as those leash backpacks, right? But my dad was ahead of his time. It's kind of embarrassing to have. He didn't put it around my neck. It was on my belt.
What about your sister?
Same.
Put her on a leash too?
Yeah. She needs to still be on a leash.
Yeah, for sure.
Like one of those dog walkers walking through New York with kids, like six kids on a leash.
Yeah. It's like, here, like, I have to clean up after you on the street. Yeah, that's how we do it.
All right, let's talk about Congress and how they need to be on a leash because they cannot decide on whether or not they want to rein in their spending or not. Lawmakers are saying now they are this close to the end of the stimulus deal. So they're saying that there's only four or five sticking points. We've sort of had this slow leak of news of things that are in, things that are out. We still don't definitively know, but we've been breaking down the reports as they come along, and hopefully we will definitively know within, I'm going to say 72 hours. We should make a poll.
Yeah, I think so. We're very, very close now. I mean, we're very, very close on this whole thing. And among the biggest sticking points right now is this wealth tax.
Yes.
And it seems that Joe Manchin is now willing to go along with this wealth tax. Mitt Romney is not happy about it. He came out and spoke about it yesterday and said a bunch of really nonsensical things, really a lot of stuff that just flat out lies. So we'll go through these things. But Mitt Romney, he thinks that, you know, he's a multimillionaire. He thinks it's a bad idea to tax billionaires. It would really just be billionaires who are going to be taxed in this plan. But he's upset. He thinks that that's going to really crush business. And he thinks that this is a bad, bad move on the part of Democrats.
Wait, how are you going to just say that? It's really just billionaires that will be taxed. That's not true.
Well, they're calling it the billionaire. They're calling it the billionaire tax, right? So it would be, well, let me play it. And then we'll come back and ruminate. You want to ruminate?
I don't think you should say that, because well, here it's it is. Not. Okay, let's hear what he has to say.
So here's what it is, right? Dems plan this billionaires unrealized gains, right? To help fund the $2 trillion. So let's just go through it. It would, it's Ron Wyden's plan. It's going to roll out this week. We're probably going to have it this week. Okay. So it's from Chairman Ron Wyden. Man, some of these websites are the worst. Look at all this garbage. I'll put it in reader view. Louise. Anyway, websites are the worst these days. Anyway, they plan basically to this big tax on billionaires. Ron Wyden is going to be rolling it out. We could see it today. And Janet Yellen is on board with it. Man, these websites.
Okay, but the idea is that they would be taxing any unrealized gains on investments, on liquid investments. So you put some money in the bank, you earn some interest, you will pay taxed on said interest. It will, in fact, tax billionaires more than anybody else because they have more liquid assets, but it will apply to everybody. Everybody will pay tax on unrealized gains, right? There's no threshold, like you have this much, so then you pay on this tax.
Right. I guess, well, the bottom line is, I mean, that's what Ron Wyden is calling it, a billion. So we don't know, actually. We don't know. We're going to have to wait this week to see what's in his proposal. If it just targets that, literally, that 0.0001% of Americans.
But we know that they name these bills in a way that get people behind them, because they're making it sound like, hey, we're going to tax the billionaires. And what it's going to boil down to is they're going to tax us.
Correct. Correct. Yeah. And that's the same excuse they're using for some of these new tax plans. Like, hey, we need to see all your deposits over $600. Like, that doesn't affect any billionaires doing $600 transaction. That's a lunch, right? For them. So we're talking about how these plans are sold to us as if they're going to actually go after billionaires. But they trickle down more intense as they get down to small and middle income people.
So, yeah. And so Mitt Romney's point is that this is going to be bad for business in the United States. And he also thinks that this is really unpopular, which is laughable because all the polling shows that this plan to tax billionaires is wildly popular with Americans. Even Republicans support it. But he spews this lie on Fox News. So watch.
Legislation passed. But the real problem is the legislation is not popular with the American people, and it doesn't address the concerns people have. They're concerned about inflation.
You can turn that up just a little bit.
They're concerned about empty shelves, and this legislation makes things worse, not better.
There you go.
Now, let's talk about this new pay-for structure. It is a proposal to go after unrealized capital gains. Some people are calling it a wealth tax on about 700 billionaires. Why, in your opinion, does this not work?
Well, first of all, it's not a good idea to tell billionaires, don't come to America, don't start your business here, to tell the Steve Jobs and the Bill Gates and people like that, this isn't the place to begin your business, go somewhere else. That's a bad idea. But number two, you're going to tax people not when they sell something, but just when they own it and the value goes up. And what that means is that these multi-billionaires are going to look and say, I don't want to invest in the stock market, because as that goes up, I'm going to get taxed. So maybe I will instead invest in a ranch or in paintings or things that don't build jobs and create a stronger economy. That kind of distortion of our economic system is a bad idea for the entire country, because frankly, we depend upon people of means to invest in enterprises, to invest in the stock market. That's one of the reasons the stock market keeps going up, which is good for all of us. The idea that somehow there's somebody out there that's going to give us stuff for free, it's just not going to work.
So let's just unpack that a little bit. Okay, I want to start.
I honestly have no problem with anything he said.
I have a couple of problems. Okay. A couple of things he said. Number one, he says, you know, so maybe instead they're going to go out and invest in a ranch or artwork instead of starting businesses. Okay. Ridiculous, given the fact that this tax is really way, way less. If we're talking about, you know, we're talking about tax rates. They're looking at not even increasing the overall tax rate. Think about how high it was under Obama. right? There was no shortage of billionaires creating businesses and hiring under Obama. In fact, they were off the charts. They were, I mean, if you want to think about it, they were investing in jobs, they were investing in their companies, and the economy was roaring and the stock market was taking off. We also know that the stock market, over 80% of the stock market wealth is owned by just a few Americans. It's not most Americans. It's a few Americans that own most of the wealth in the stock market. And another issue that he talks about is multi-billionaires. They're going to look at it and they're going to say, they don't want to invest in the stock market because it's going to go up and it's going to get taxed. High taxes have never, ever, ever stopped these millionaires and billionaires from investing in the stock market.
But people who study financial education find ways to invest in alternate types of investments for this very reason. Think of the types of things that you and I think of, or like even that maybe our accountants pitch us, like this idea of a land trust, right? Investing in a land trust. Yes, I would do that if I thought that was more tax friendly than, say, a stock market. Insurance plans, life insurance, whole life insurance. There's a whole subset of people who start to build wealth and then start to think, well, I do want to make sure that I pay the least amount of, that I invest this in the most tax friendly way, not in a selfish way. I mean, business schools, in like the first semester of business school, you are taught tax mitigation. It is your responsibility as someone who leads a company to find ways to pay, to lower your taxes.
Right.
Across the board. That's just, it's just a responsible thing to do, right? Why? Because you want to leave it in your business so you can grow the business and right. not and, pay it to the tax. And that's what the government wants too.
And we should point out, you know, because you and I are business owners, that the government, the tax code is written for entrepreneurs. The tax code is written for business owners.
Which is why this is so perplexing, because normally the government wants you to invest in the stock market. That's what the 401k was written for. That's what the IRA is meant to do, right? Is to partner with the government in order to invest in the stock market. And I think he has a point that I would definitely not want to hold funds if I thought that I was going to have to pay taxes on them every year, especially if I thought, what if this fund goes up this year and goes down next year? Then I've paid taxes on it this year that I will then get back next year. So I've lent the government money for a year. I don't want to do that. I'm with Mitt Romney. All the things that he said, I'm like, yes. And also there are a lot of ways to invest in like ranching and farming, and those are all very tax friendly ways because the government wants us to do it. They want us to grow food to feed our, you know, and so absolutely I would do that now, over the stock market.
Let me be very clear. I am not supportive of the idea of this unrealized capital gains scheme. To me, it's ridiculous. But the idea of these, of forget that scheme. Let's just talk about millionaires and billionaires actually not finding all of these offshoring accounts and
right.
putting their money in these accounts so they don't have to pay taxes in the United States, right?
Yes.
That isn't like these tax cheats. That's what they should be focused on. So well, I think when Americans are thinking about taxing billionaires and millionaires, that's an easy thing for people to throw around out there. And Americans are going to say, yeah, I want them to be taxed. You need to get into the details before you can make a real clear determination, right?
Let's hear what David has to say.
Well, I'm just going to say, like, they're calling for taxing the billionaires and all this tax, but we have to remember that's going to give our government that wastes money more, even more money. And what are they going to do? They're going to waste even more money. So it's like we're cheering for the government to get more money. And where's it going to go? It's going to go to more war. It's going to go to Space Force. It's going to go to, you know, all this other stuff that it's not going to benefit us in any way. So it's like, I just feel like there are other things we should be doing than just worrying about all these taxes that are just going to benefit the government.
I totally agree with you. I mean, I have been long on this show talking about organizing or, you know, being able to be smarter with our money, making sure that we're actually having a balanced budget every year, making sure that that's yes. in place, all of those things. But we don't do that in the United States government.
No. And I am also concerned that given that the United States continues to hit these shutdown deadlines and barely sort of get by them with the government still going. So then if I pay tax on unrealized gains this year, and then I have a loss next year and I'm supposed to get that money back, who says I'm ever going to get it back from this government, which is narrowly avoiding shutdowns
right.
every couple of months? No, thank you. No, I mean, I'm not lending to the government.
We've already seen this with pension plans.
They don't lend to us. And that's another thing, right? Is that let's say you file an extension of your taxes and you don't pay in April and you pay in September, you pay interest on that the time that you did not pay, right? It's because the government just doesn't lend you money interest-free. The same thing in reverse. If the government owed you a refund and didn't get it to you in time, they pay you some interest on that's not going to happen. This, like, we're now the government and I are like chummy enough to be lending each other interest-free money on unrealized gains. No. And it's interesting that the way that they're spinning this makes it popular. Like David was saying with, you know, the American people, like, yeah, I get those billionaires. I think the average investor, the average American family does not realize how this will affect them as well. And I think most people don't understand. I mean, most people don't even understand the fees that they pay inside their investments now. So not only are you going to pay fees, you're going to pay taxes. So your realization from the stock market, the average guy is not going to be making much from the stock market now.
Yeah.
I mean, well, and they put, like what I said, when they pitch it, you know, it's like clickbait. It's clickbait, yes, for people. We're going to tax the billionaires by tracking deposits of $600 or more. Like, okay, wait a minute. What billionaire is depositing $600? They drop that out of their pocket walking down the street and don't care. You know what I mean? Like, right, that's the three margarita lunch for them.
Yeah. Again, there's so many different parts of this that I think it's all lumped together as one thing. You know, you got Ron Wyden wanting to tax 700 billionaires.
Yeah.
Just go after the billionaire class, the Jeff Bezos, the Elon Musks of the world, right? Mm-hmm. And that's one thing. And then, of course, you also have trying to close some of these tax loopholes that get that. So there's other pieces of all this. Then you have the $600 thing. And it's all being lumped together as this one bill. And so this is why this is a sticking point. By the end of the week, maybe we'll have some more framework on this, but we are getting closer. This is the main last sticking point
is how to
pay for it. Well, I'm glad they waited till the end of that, you know?
And one more thing really quick. Biden tweeted, I believe it was yesterday, that he said 55 businesses did not pay their taxes, blah, blah, blah. My Build Back Better plan wants to address that. But it's like, go after those 55 businesses. If that is the case, go after them. Don't blanket everybody into this to try to capture a few extra people, because what's going to happen is this, it's only going to affect us.
Look, he knows about it, then he can call the IRS.
Well, he can't. Right. That would be extremely inappropriate to weaponize the IRS.
Well, I don't think it's weaponizing.
It's basically what they're doing anyway. They're going to weaponize it on us anyway.
I mean, you go to jail, right, if you don't pay your taxes.
You cannot, as the president, say, hey, like, I want to see this company's taxes. You know, like, he can't just go into a different government branch.
Yeah.
And then
where did he get that number, I wonder? You know what I mean?
That's what I'm wondering, right? Yeah. Is it from public tax file? How does he know who hasn't actually paid or not?
Right. Yeah,
you know,
obviously
worried about this with Trump, that he wanted to sort of set different organizations on his enemies. Like, let's audit that guy. Let's hurt that guy. Let's hurt that guy. You can't do that.
We already know that the IRS has been used for political purposes. We know that they were targeting Republicans in Ohio.
Wasn't that the thing under
Truman,
Bush, right?
Well, I don't know about under Truman, but underneath George W. Bush, of course, we saw what happened with the IRS being used to go after conservative groups. And, you know, look, so there you go. It was under Obama. I'm sorry. I think it was under Obama that this happened at those offices in Ohio.
Oh, I thought, wasn't that the whole premise of the J. Edgar Hoover movie, that he was weaponized by certain presidents? I don't know. This is okay. We're going back into conspiracy theories that I know nothing about.
Totally make sense if he was.
Yeah. All right. We've got more news to get to here on the show today. We're going to talk about the supply chain crunch, what your Christmas is going to look like, and why you might not see any sales anytime soon. We're also going to talk about the eviction crisis. Where's that rental assistance money, by the way? Like, you know, that money is for people, but they can't seem to find it right now. We'll get to that. And so much more. But first,
we want to tell you about our show sponsor over at Crowd Health. Now, while the government doesn't know if it's going to extend Medicare or even be able to offer health insurance, Crowd Health is a wonderful alternative to your health care needs. We all know how high premiums have become, and there seems to be no limit. Crowd Health is exactly what it sounds. It is a fund of money for people who want to keep health care costs low. So you can contribute to it by paying your low monthly premiums, and you get in return personalized quality healthcare at affordable prices. This is not a place where you're going to see $800 Tylenols. That's a story I tell repeatedly, is that the night after I had my first child, I asked for an aspirin and got an $800 bill. Now, I didn't pay that, obviously, but these are the premiums. These are the things that are allowed to be surcharged in American healthcare, and Crowd Health wanted to find a way to fix that by relying on the power of the people. So for those of you who are concerned about the cost of healthcare and feel like there are no good options, those of you who have gone through healthcare.gov and saw some of the premiums and you're like, this is my discount, this is a much better way to pay your medical expenses with a community of people who are just tired of paying into a broken system. You get a simple and flexible way to pay for your healthcare. You can have virtual consultants whenever you want them, and you get affordable prescription medicine. Crowd Health is able to offer these amazing prices because of the community of health conscious members. Now, they have a wonderful offer for our listeners. You can get your first 6 months for just $99. That's your premium price, you guys. $99 a month. That is not something you're going to get anywhere else. That's a savings of almost 50%. I would say more than that, even. But it's 50% of your of their standard prices.
Becky Medvez says, my grandmother got a $300 Band-Aid while she was in the hospital.
Holy cow.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my.
That is ridiculous.
God.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, the people at Crowd Health, like their CEO, I mean, they were like fed up with our broken medical system. And they're like, there's got to be a better way.
Yeah, I was just sort of scanning old medical bills the other day. And I again saw this $800 Tylenol. And it was one other thing. I couldn't remember what it was, like linen service, right? Like they give you those, the cotton underwear after you have a baby. And like, that was $500. Like, that's not even proper underwear. They're single use.
$500.
It's ridiculous. Gosh. So go to crowdhealth.com/99 for this $99 a month premium and enter the code INVESTING at sign up so that you receive this 6 month lock-in. So you are investing in your right to have affordable healthcare. Join crowdhealth.com/99 and enter the promo code INVESTING. Now, remember, this is not health insurance. It is a community powered alternative. So terms and conditions may apply, but you might want to be on this team. I really appreciate a company that's trying to disrupt something that's so broken.
Yeah.
So please support our show sponsors, guys. It's worth at least a head on over on your browser.
Absolutely. Thank you for that. All right. We've got more news to get to here on the show. Let's talk about this supply chain craziness. I guess it's going to be like a bah humbug time for...
It could be, or maybe this is your best Christmas ever because you don't just dump plasticky crap made in China on your relatives. That is sort of your option right now because retailers are saying we cannot do discounts this year. Now, why? They don't even know if they can meet the demand for the products they've got now. They can ill afford it. They're not even sure what they can sell. This means that retailers are seeing the effects of full priced items for the first time. And guess what? They like it. This means that people are buying less and also buying more experienced gifts. The Wall Street Journal is warning that there will not be discounts on things like Nike, Coach bags, Sony TVs, what else? Ralph Lauren polo shirts. I mean, it's like very small violin playing for this tragedy, right? But Adobe tracks visits to online stores, and they say that out of stock messages online are up 172% from this January. That means you go to buy an item and it says out of stock, that's happening 172% more times throughout the year. Apparel is the number one out of stock category, followed by sporting goods, baby products, and electronics. Adobe says that the discounts they do see online right now are between 5 and 15% instead of the normal 10 to 30%.
I wonder what Black Friday is going to look like. You know, those Black Friday deals, are they just going to be non-existent?
Well, a lot of times those prices are inflated in order to be deflated, right?
Right.
But, you know, I'm always banging this drum is that we don't pay the price of things so that we buy more crap instead of the actual, like, price of the good that's sold that's good for the earth, that's good for, right? We don't do that. We pay a cheaper price that then has human like the human sacrifice on it, from the truckers, from the chemicals that go in it, from the animals that are hurt, from, like across the board, we just don't do it. And we pick up a copious amounts of cheap crap. And this is the year where we won't be able to. And people are saying, well, you know, I'm going to buy less, or I'm going to go on an experience gift, or take a trip.
I'm of two minds.
Well, thank wages.
Right. I guess I'm of two minds. I'm kind of curious on this. If these companies are really hurting, right? It seems like they're hurting. They can't find the labor, and yet they're seeing record profits.
Uh-huh.
We have a week of earnings this week where we're set to see a record profits for these retailers, these retail chains. They're charging at regular value. They're not giving these 30% discounts, so they're doing really well. And yet they're crying that they don't have the labor. They have these labor shortages. It's interesting. I feel like something's out of whack here. Something's missing from this whole equation. I can't quite put my finger.
What do you mean? Why can they make profits when they can't get workers? Like,
sorry, hold on a second.
Grover's answer is?
Yeah. Grover hears a doorbell.
Well, it's because they are charging full price for these items, so that they don't need to sell five. They can sell two and make the same profit margin, right? So they don't need the same number of employees in order to move two products as they do five. It makes sense to me.
I see the consumer price index, right? So consumers are spending money like crazy right now.
Yeah.
There's so much money in people's pockets. And I know, like, you might be watching saying, boy, I wish I had money in my pocket. But that's the thing. It's all out of whack. So consumers are spending more than ever right now. And there's a lot of analysts who think that these retailers are going to have like the Christmas of their lives this Christmas, because these retailers are going to explode with profits. Yet people, we're still in a pandemic. We have millions of people without a job. Retailers are complaining they don't have the labor. I just something is missing in this equation. I can't quite put my finger on it.
What about that you don't believe that they are charging full price, or that they should, or that they have to? You don't think they have to charge full price?
No, I don't think that they have to charge full price. I think that this is a total canard. I think that what you're seeing is record profits. And I think what you're also hearing from analysts on Wall Street is that, you know, you might need to just maybe cut your margins a little bit. Like, you don't need to, first of all, Chipotle. Here's an example. Chipotle is now charging what? Like, it's like $11 for a burrito.
Yeah.
And people are buying it.
Yeah.
Right? They're seeing record profits at Chipotle. Chipotle earnings was off the charts. They're seeing record profits. Okay. People are paying more for this burrito. Do they really need to have raised the price of this burrito?
I don't know. You don't know what they're paying for guacamole. You don't know what they're paying for chicken, right? For the beef prices. Like, it would be interesting to see
those things have gone up. Yes, those things have gone up. But their margins are so massive that maybe you don't necessarily need to be taking massive profits and raise your prices.
I am always for like teaching the consumer the price of things instead of like a perversion or a government subsidized burrito, right? Because
well, it's not about a government subsidized burrito. Just think about
it. Absolutely is about a government subsidized burrito.
It's capitalism.
If the government is subsidizing the farmer.
Yeah, but it's capitalism, and these companies are making money. Yes, it is capitalism. They're raising their prices because they're paying more for guacamole and chicken, and they're passing that right on to the consumer. That's capitalism, and they're making billions of dollars in profit.
But farmers are given subsidies for, you know, for their practices, right? And so it absolutely is a government burrito. Like, it's only kept cheap by government perversion of the prices. And we almost never pay the price of something, ever.
Yeah, and Brenda says, yeah, because they're doing so well, Chipotle gave their employees a raise as well.
Right. So, then maybe they do need those profit margins to push that down to people, right? But again,
and I'd be okay with that if that was the case. And so, but they're still making
you're
record.
Okay with that. You'll eat the $8 burrito.
I'd like a government burrito.
No, you wouldn't. I don't think so.
By the way, could you imagine what a government burrito would taste like? I don't even want to think about it.
Yes, you can, because you've been to public school. You absolutely know what a government burrito tastes like. Oh, it's bad.
You know, I think what you're getting at, though, Clayton, is like we're hearing about the Great Resignation. You know, everybody's quitting their jobs, yet they're having record profits. And how does that happen? If people, like, it's not like people are leaving their job and going out and getting an $11 burrito.
Right. I just don't get it. So you're making, you're sitting on now $20 billion in cash that you're just sitting on. This company now made all this profit, and it's net cash. I'm talking after expenses, after paying for the guacamole and chicken, they're sitting on $20 billion in cash. Okay, well, maybe you could have just gotten $19 billion this year instead of raising the burrito right. price. That's
well, this
my point.
Is what this is what we reported on last week, is that it's more profitable to sell to the wealthy than it is to sell to the hurting lower class. And that's exactly what's happening, is the wealthy can buy a full-priced Coach bag or full-priced Nike shoes, right? And then the lower-income classes are like, we're buying nothing, right?
Yeah, it's sad. I mean, look at this. This is a quote from The Gap. Katrina O'Connell from The Gap, chief financial officer at an investor conference, said, "We're already quite pleased with the fact that we've been able to really pull back on discounting all of our brands."
You know, I would love for those companies to be.
I don't think that's a bad thing. Go ahead,
I wish those companies would be transparent, though, in what they're actually paying to produce those products. Because, yes. Like, what's your profit margin? Because if you're, you know, you're talking Nike, what are they paying for a shoe to be manufactured?
It's probably Vietnam. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Like, are you paying sweatshop wages for people? Like, you know,
right. Nike, like what's the profit margin on a Coach bag?
Right.
Right. Yeah. Which is why it's funny. I was looking at my shoes the other day. I'm like, I have a lot of sustainable shoes, like Rothy's, and I have
Allbirds,
right? Like, I have decided I'm not buying this stuff anymore that is not fair trade, that I don't know, like, that I can't tell what the labor costs are for those types of things. And so, you know, I do
and they
wish
last way, way longer.
There was a way for Americans to, like, pay fair trade prices, not just for coffee and chocolate and shoes now, but, you know, bras and Coach bags and all of that stuff. In fact, actually, Rothy's does make bags and yeah. wallets. And, you know, this is just something I've become increasingly obsessed with, is like, I don't want to buy the cheap stuff that a trucker and a fisherman and like have to die just to get me my cheap goods. It really, like, it bothers me. And it bothers me that I think that I can go to these like Target type stores and get five coloring books, because I just,
or go to Old Navy and get these, yeah. you know, these five t-shirts that were like manufactured in Vietnam.
Right.
And some trucker like worked his hands to the bone or whatever, trying to get this thing to yeah. this.
That, you know, the seams fall apart in 3 months.
Yeah. Someone wrote me the other day saying, yeah, these truckers right now, I mean, it's sad. They actually, you know, sorry, I got a message coming through. They ended up not even getting paid, and they're being asked to work these additional shifts right now, and not even getting paid for it right
yeah.
now, so that we can get our crap from China or these crappy made clothes from Old Navy.
Yes, I again refer everybody to the book "The Secret Life of Groceries," and please read the chapter on truckers, and you will think differently about everything you touch, even if you're the kind of person like me who is like, well, I grow my own lettuce, so my lettuce doesn't come in a bag triple washed. I do it myself. The seeds were trucked to me. I didn't just manufacture seeds. I certainly did not sow them in the wild.
Yeah.
Everything you touch has a human cost.
Belinda Edwards says, all the large size bras are ugly. What's up with that?
Yes.
What is up with that?
Yeah. And also, I have tried really hard to buy sustainable bras, and I cannot find a way to yet, because I need the industrial style.
Corin Evans. Corin Evans says, I love the way your wife makes you think about your perspective. Thank you so much, Corin. Yes, she's a wonderful wife. Someone else said, Maria said, my husband is a trucker. I'm curious, Maria, let us know in the chat, like, what is he experiencing right now? Is he working just way longer hours and being paid less? I'd love to hear your perspective on that. I just want to end on this one quote here in this Wall Street Journal piece. I think this is really telling. While supply chain disruptions are the main reason for the product shortages, some brands took steps before and during the pandemic to price items more strategically, either by reducing the amount of goods they sell or using data to better target promotions to select customers. Doesn't it kind of say it all? It's like we're using big data to basically increase prices, targeting the right people, even though we don't necessarily need to do this. And we can blame it on the pandemic, by the way. Like, you know, Chipotle, again, I come back to Chipotle, which I love, but we can blame it on the pandemic. We can blame it on supply chain shortages. And yet, some of these things were already strategically put in place well before this.
But again, you're saying this as if it's a bad thing to sell fewer things, fewer high quality things, right?
No, that's
if they were high quality.
If they were high quality.
Most of this stuff is not high quality, is the problem.
Yes, you're absolutely right. But like, there's a
people
quote
aren't going
here
to
from
Black
Home
Friday.
Depot saying, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, people aren't doing Black Friday sales at high-end stores where you actually get good products.
Yeah, that's the thing. So I look at this and I say, okay, so Chipotle, you raised your prices, but your profits are off the charts. Well, okay.
And you said wages went up too, just out of curiosity?
Yeah.
So yes. They increased by how much? Like, what were they making, and then what'd they go to? Do you know?
I think they got an additional $2 an hour, I think, because we did the story here on the show a few months ago. I don't remember.
I remember the talking about it.
Yeah. But my point is the profits, right? So it'd be different if they're breaking even, right?
Right.
I get that. But when you're now making record profits because you increased your prices and you're blaming it on the pandemic, and now consumers, I don't care so much about a luxury burrito, but I care about sort of staples that people need, like the milk and cheeses and other things that, mm-hmm. you know, those types of things where some of the price gouging comes into place. I've seen it. I've already seen some of these price gouging on some of these different electronics websites and stuff. Anyway, that's my thought.
And maybe it'd be one thing, too, if they did like a profit sharing. You know what I mean? Like if the employees benefited from all those profits. But it's like if you increased wages by $2 and you made $11 billion or $20 billion in profit, then you didn't give them an increase enough.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I think it's going to be a crazy holiday season. And, you know, we're basically seeing right now that you're going to be paying for a lot more for things, no discounts. And so we have to really strategically, I think about what our Christmas is going to look like.
Us?
Well, not us, but yes. Us, the universal us.
Oh, know? I'm always. Yeah,
I know you're always thinking about that.
I have so much guilt around Christmas.
All right, let's talk about this eviction crisis. Remember, the moratorium on evictions is up. The federal government in October, President Biden's eviction moratorium ban is now gone. It's dissolved. There was billions of dollars set aside for rental assistance, right, in the United States that was going to help people be able to pay their rent. It was going to help landlords be able to cover mortgages and those types of things. So we wouldn't have this crisis. Well, now we know defaults on mortgages are skyrocketing. We've covered that here on the show. So that's one piece of this, right? The owners of these homes. The other big piece, of course, is that these homeowners or these renters are now also have nowhere to go. They're being pushed out.
There's a long line of foreclosure or of evictions.
Evictions. And what I meant was I couldn't think of the word, but homeless shelters are overrun. They have no place for people. Mm. So people are setting up these tent cities. But where's the money? There was supposed to be billions of dollars in rental assistance money. Where the heck is it?
And now by some estimates, 75% of the rental assistance money that the federal government set aside has reached its destination, 75%. So Congress set aside $46 billion in rental assistance during the pandemic, but they obviously had to filter that down through the states. Only $10 billion has actually reached any of the renters. You know, this is a virtuous circle, right? They were supposed to send it to the tenants. In some cases, they would send it straight. In some states, they would send it straight to the landlords in order to reprieve any back rent for the tenants. And it just hasn't happened. They're saying that a lot of these applications are stuck in processing. And obviously, no state was going to prioritize rental assistance when they knew that no tenants could be evicted. So they have been kicking the can down the road. Like, yeah, we'll get to your application, but we don't have to because you know you can't be evicted right now during the pandemic. Well, that's not the case anymore. Now evictions will start happening again. And will that money be freed up? Who the heck knows?
And these states are just, I don't know what's going on with these states. I mean, they literally, you have people sleeping on the streets. You have tent cities set up right on their doorstep, and they can't figure out how to get this money out to people. I mean, right, if you go through the different websites to mm-hmm. type this information in, and it all comes down to what state you happen to be in. A lot of the websites are total garbage. They're giving you errors as you're trying to process information. I would love to know, like Chris Moore says in our chat, I just got mine in Alaska last week. Chris, I'm curious, how long did that take, Chris?
So, you know, the Department of... Go ahead.
Okay, sorry. If you're saying that 75% of it has not come from the federal government yet, and they're blaming the states, is it really on the states, or is it because the states haven't applied that the federal government hasn't released the money?
No. So the Department of Housing and Urban Development has already sent out $46 billion. That's the total amount for state and local government. So all of that money, according to the feds, has been sent out. Okay.
Okay. So 75% is still being held by the states.
The states are screwing this up.
Yes.
So this is not at, you can't blame Biden for this.
Now, you remember Gavin Newsom said, we're going to pay all back rent. That was about 6 months ago, and he didn't even wait for his federal assistance. He used California's budget and just went ahead and did it, right? But other states are having backups in their own state housing and urban development department, which it's, I don't know if you've ever, we have a couple of tenants on rental assistance, and it is not easy to deal with this. We went through one state's assistance program to help some of our tenants who were who were in arrears, right? And we had to work with the tenant to get them to apply, even though I, as the landlord, could prove this person has not paid. Do you think, you could use this program, as you said, and then we'll catch up this tenant? And they wouldn't even talk to me as the landlord. The tenant had to apply for it. Now, obviously, the tenant didn't even want to speak to me. They were embarrassed about being late in some cases, right? And they just wouldn't answer the phone. They wouldn't answer the property manager's phone. And so it was like, me as a landlord has to continue to maintain the property when something breaks. I have to continue to maintain insurance on the property. I have to continue any debt I've got on the property. And I have to pay state and local taxes. I don't get a break from those things. But none of that rental assistance went to us. None. And it was just, and every time I went, I would call or I'd go to the website and they say, we're out of this money. We're waiting for some more. It's like, really? You're okay.
We're just out of it.
Yeah.
Okay. We're just waiting for more. Now, I did say, you can't blame President Biden for like that, the $46 billion not being dispersed. It has been now dispersed, but the president can take action, can lead on this issue with Congress. Remember, the Supreme Court, of course, struck down the CDC's guidelines on evictions back in August, saying that the CDC doesn't have the power to do this. The CDC doesn't have the power to enforce an eviction moratorium. They can't do this. And the Supreme Court said that they would need Congress to write a law. Mm-hmm. Well, who runs this country? It's Democrats. Democrats run the Senate. They run the House of Representatives. And they run the presidency. The president of the United States could show some leadership on this issue, get all of these people together and say, we need to fix this. I mean, this is a crisis that didn't need to happen. It's right there. It's of our own making, basically.
Yes, but I'm glad that he hasn't. I do not think the eviction moratorium is constitutional. I don't think that it's right to sort of disproportionately put the living expenses of some people on others, and especially like mom and pop landlords like us, we still have to pay our taxes, right? If there was really something, like if they really wanted to give us something to support the people that live in our properties, we would then have a reprieve from state and local taxes. But they don't do
that.
That's
my point. All of it needs to come together like they did in Australia, like they did in Japan, right? You're covering the mortgages of the people that have mortgages on the property. You're covering the rent for the people that can't pay it.
Yes.
You're making sure that there's tax alleviation from it. All of
those
things.
The eviction moratorium is just one piece of the puzzle. And it's like we pretend it's not a virtuous circle, right? So the tenant pays a rent. The landlord pays the property taxes and maintains the property.
Right.
And then the city then pays firemen, police, right? So,
and that all comes from all the property
taxes. All of this
taxes.
Needs to happen in a virtuous circle for people to live in an area. So why only address one piece of it? It doesn't make any sense.
I totally agree.
They always think so backwards too, because it's like, if it's just basic economics, from the very onset of all this, if they would have given a UBI of like $2,000, all these companies would have been fine through the pandemic, because it does trickle up. It doesn't trickle down. And they always try to find and make all these bureaucracies to give money to this program and this program. And people get lost in the shuffle. Whereas if they would have just given everybody $2,000 or something like that, then landlords wouldn't be in the situation they are. Corporations would have had record profits. But it's like they don't see that part of the circle ever.
No.
Yeah. We're going to talk about universal basic income a bit further. After the break.
Yeah, and perhaps that could be the answer. We'll talk about that. All right, coming up on the show, yeah, we're going to talk about universal basic income and why one city is finally kicking it off, and it could be the largest effort in American history. And we've also got what's trending on the internet today. What else is coming up here on the show? Let's talk about this. Okay. Universal basic income.
So the city of Chicago will consider tomorrow whether or not they want to roll out one of the largest basic income programs in the country.
Hallelujah.
And this
Whoa,
will
what
include
a good city to start it in, too.
Way to go, Chicago.
Yeah. This will include giving 5,000 low-income households $500 per month using federal funding from the pandemic stimulus package earlier this year. So the city has preemptively set this aside because they want to see what happens when there is a basic standard of living that their citizens and residents can rely upon.
Yeah, Mayor Lori Lightfoot has proposed the more than $31 million program as part of her 2022 budget. She says the city council is scheduled to consider this tomorrow. The one-year pilot program will be funded by the nearly $2 billion that Chicago received from the Biden administration's American Rescue Plan. And it's supported by almost all of the aldermen on the city council. Everyone supports this. It has received pushback, though, from the Black Caucus, which they're saying, hey, take this money instead of giving it to low-income families. Use this instead to go after violence prevention programs. And I don't know. I think that's an interesting way to look at this because most of this violence, most of the crime ends up coming from poverty.
Absolutely. Right. There's a linear relationship between poverty and criminal behavior. And when poverty rates increase, so does criminal behavior. And I mean, if it's a simple way to think about it is that all bad behavior stems from powerlessness, right?
Right.
So if you give these people a little less powerlessness or a bit more empowerment, you don't need to resort to crime at the same rate.
Right. I mean, just
how
about
many
like
times have we heard this? Sorry.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say, how many times have we heard this story where, you know, old gangbangers are telling the story of how they sold drugs because they were helping their parents or their mother, you know, making money. And it's like, if you take them and give them something to get them out of that situation where they don't have to make those choices, that right. I think the crime would start to fix itself.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think you're right. And I think you're right about the powerlessness thing. I like to use analogies about my kids, right? And if you think about a three-year-old who's throwing a tantrum or crying, right? The reason that she's crying and throwing a tantrum is because she feels powerless.
Like, yes, absolutely.
She's not being heard. You know, you're not listening to me, right? I'm not understood.
I want this thing. I don't understand why I can't just play with a knife, right? Like, you just don't understand why the system is holding you back and you don't feel any loyalty to a system that doesn't hear you, right?
So I want to talk more about this universal basic income piece because, look, I've been a champion of universal basic income. A number of countries have tried this, from Finland to Germany to Canada. And overwhelmingly, when you look at the data, they've all been a success. They've not only been a success, they've been a home run, right?
What was that place in California that did it? $500
a month. Yeah, so Stockton, California tried this, right? They started providing the monthly stipend program with no strings attached. And they did this as a pilot program to 125 of its residents back in 2019. This is pre-pandemic, by the way. Those stipends resulted in more full-time employment. So this whole like Republican talking point that we just can't give money to people to help people because they're going to just sit on the couch. They're going to, you know, they're lazy Americans. They're just going to sit there and they're going to take from the system. Turns out, no, that's not the case. In all of these pilot programs around the world and in the United States, more employment emerged as a result of it. And improved mental and emotional well-being among recipients, according to preliminary findings reported earlier this year. And for instance, one of the guys, Michael Tubbs, who is one of the implementers of this program, he was then the mayor of Stockton, California. He said that the recipient's largest expenditure was food, making up at least a third of their spending each month. He said, I had no idea how many people were so hungry in my area, this mayor said. And they've tried this now in San Francisco, Pittsburgh, Newark, New Jersey, Denver, Colorado, Compton, California. In Los Angeles, they're doing 2,000 residents are getting an income of $1,000 a month for a year. This is fantastic. I just think that this is really, you know, a lot of these cities have gotten a lot of money. They've gotten a lot of money from an influx from the American Rescue Plan. And you also, a lot of these cities have also had surpluses to deal with. Mm-hmm. And this is an amazing way of providing a safety net for people so they don't have that anxiety of how are they going to pay for that paycheck or how are they going to pay for that rent? How are they going to pay for that food? And they're not living paycheck to paycheck.
Right. And if you think about the opportunity costs, right, that it then prevents, like food insecurity is often related to people who are overweight. Because if you don't know when your next meal is coming, you don't ration. You're not like, oh, I think I'll fast today and then eat like a high, you know, calorie. Right. It just doesn't work like that. And so food insecurity leads to health problems that then is something that that will cost the government money, right? In like less productive workers, higher health care that they have to pay for, not to mention crime, not to mention all of these things, right, that can be prevented with a small payment on a regular basis, or else you pay for that worker or that person or that citizen in a different way for something that could have been prevented.
Right. Yeah. Chris Paulman in our chat says, that's not true about Germany. Actually, it is. It is true. Maybe not where you live specifically in that part of Germany, but Germany started a universal basic income program for 3 years. Here it is. They'll get $1,400 a month. So, yes, the whole country of Germany does not have a universal basic income, Chris. But they, in certain areas, people getting $1,400 a month for 3 years. So there you go. And it, you know, it started as like a pilot program. They did the same thing, by the way, Chris, in Finland, which was an amazing success. So a lot of these different companies, Canada has done it as well, and they've all been overwhelmingly successful. And again, that's why Andrew Yang, who is running now as a third party candidate, that's still going to be a big pillar of his platform.
Yes.
Also, he's embracing cryptocurrency. He said he wants to be the party that embraces cryptocurrency. So I'm like, all right, Andrew Yang, let's do it.
Punk rock.
Yeah, I know.
Is that the name of the third party? Is punk rock?
Punk rock.
Punk rock third party.
No.
Crypto super PAC?
Yeah. What is the name of his third party? I forget the Andrew Yang new third party. It was
something not cool. Like,
yeah.
For the people, you know. Like,
I'm not looking at the People's rock. Party, but that's a separate one. The People's Party. I don't know. Do you know the name of it? Anyone in the chat has an idea what it is? Let me know. But anyway.
Okay, let's move on to what's trending, shall we?
Yeah, let's do it. So what is trending
on the
internet
today? Okay, this is where we tell you what's going on the internet.
The forward party, sorry.
The forward party. Yeah, it's like Hillary Clinton's... you look like you're leaning out of the box. No, the other way. There you go.
Sorry.
Like, get a Brady Bunch it up. There you go.
Okay.
No one keeps Natalie in a box.
Get in your box.
Yeah, get in your box. Get in your nice little...
I'm trying to think outside the box.
Your nice little cozy box there.
Okay.
Okay, what's trending today?
All right, this is a segment where we tell you what's happening on the internet, so you can get involved if you want to, or just get involved here on the chat. That's fine, too. Maybe you'll get fewer haters on our platform. Jim Caviezel. Sorry. He is trending. He's an actor known for his role in The Passion of the Christ. He also played one of my favorite fictional characters of all time, The Count of Monte Cristo. I thought that was a pretty good movie adaptation of that book. I love The Count of Monte Cristo.
Caviezel was in that?
He's the main character. Edmund, I think, is his name. He is the Count of Monte Cristo. Mm. He also was in that great movie we saw, Frequency, that we liked a lot.
Oh, I love that movie.
With Dennis Quaid. Anyway, okay. So, sorry. The reason he's trending is not for these roles. He's trending because he gave a speech at a QAnon convention, and he recited the battle cry speech from Braveheart to great applause. Now, you see him pointing there. This is a cry to arms, a call to arms, a call to the fight to the death. It is like,
you can take our lives, but you can never take our freedom. Every man dies. Not every man truly lives. You.
He's calling for death. He's saying we have the fight of our lives around, you know, what's happening with our country, liberal values, human sex trafficking. We're all going to die anyway. So if we have to die for QAnon, let's be willing to do it. It's like I said, the Braveheart speech. And that is how he feels.
I never thought Jesus would buy into that.
He's not speaking on behalf of the Passion of the Christ.
Isn't he Jesus? Oh. I thought he was. No, he's not?
No.
Okay.
He's speaking as a human person, an American citizen, but And he's speaking on behalf of William Morris.
Couldn't they have ironed that flag, by the way? It's like they just got out. Yeah,
it looks like
box.
They went to a store and bought it, and like, we gotta have someone run flag over the podium.
Someone run and grab a flag real quick.
Right. So, I mean, it's this like is not cloth. The actual speech of William Morris. It is no. the Mel Gibson adaptation.
Freedom. Of,
yes. Like, so he's calling for be willing to lay down your lives, and you can consider whether or not you feel that passionately.
TJ says Jesus was a socialist. Just saying. Yes. How? Amen and hallelujah to that, TJ.
Okay.
Socialism in the house.
Hannah Gadsby is trending. She's a comedian who has a Netflix special, and she was dragged into this Dave Chappelle controversy. So the news is that Dave Chappelle said he will meet with transgendered people who work at Netflix and want to address the things that they found hurtful in his special. Dave Chappelle says he will do this on three conditions. One, you can't come if you haven't watched the special from beginning to end. Two, you must come to a place of my choosing at a time of my choosing. And thirdly, you must admit that Hannah Gadsby is not funny. Now, she was pulled into the whole thing when this Netflix CEO named her as another comedian who they say, like, hey, we support, you know, open comedy and people's art. And she said she didn't appreciate being named in the same bucket as Dave Chappelle. If you want to her post about it, we blocked some of the bad words because we're a family friendly show.
Should I do the reading?
Okay, yeah, go ahead. Says,
hey, Ted Sarandos, just a quick note to let you know that I would prefer if you didn't drag my name into your mess. Now I have to deal with even more of that hate and anger that Dave Chappelle's fans like to unleash on me every time that Dave gets $20 million to process his emotionally stunted partial worldview. You didn't pay me nearly enough to do the deal with the real-world consequences of the hate speech dog whistling you refuse to acknowledge, Ted. F you and your amoral algorithm cult. I do
SH
with more backbone than you do. That's just a joke. I definitely didn't cross the line because you just told the world there isn't a line to cross. I guess there isn't a line. Okay.
Yeah. So I did not know who she was before this. I think it's all very exhausting. I do not think it's productive. I don't care to watch comedians fight over this.
Well, and think of the boost she just got.
Right, exactly.
Right, I never even heard of her until he's like grim in the chat saying, yeah, she's not funny.
She's not. I tried, I couldn't even watch half.
Okay, I have no perspective on her comedy at all. I just feel like fighting amongst comedians, and now she's like thrown a stone at Dave Chappelle saying that he's just like processing an emotionally stunted worldview. I don't feel like any of it productive at all.
Yeah. All right. I thought Dave Chappelle's special was hilarious, but I love Dave Chappelle. So,
Yes, I also think that it opens the way for productive conversation. I also think the internet is not a place for productive conversation. Oh, so I will stay out of it. Okay.
What else is trending?
Bolsonaro is trending, as in Jair Bolsonaro. This is the president of Brazil. Facebook and YouTube removed a video of his in which he said that the COVID vaccine contributes to the spread of AIDS. YouTube suspended his account for at least 7 days as a result of this violation, so he can go cool his heels in social media jail for a bit.
Good. I hope ours doesn't get suspended.
We are not saying that he's right. We're saying that he had this happen to him.
Okay.
We're not saying anything of the sort.
Right. You hear that, Susan, in YouTube?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just making sure, YouTube, that you know that we didn't say that.
We did not say that. We're reporting that he's trending. He's trending on all social networks and in many countries because of this. And now everybody, of course, wants to see it, the video, which has been taken down. I did not watch it.
Because it's gone.
Yes, because it's gone. Nor'easter is trending, and
that's
so
my favorite holiday.
It's not a holiday.
I love getting those chocolate eggs on Nor'easter.
Flash floods is also trending, and Weather Channel is trending, all due to the Nor'easter that is headed straight for the East Coast. It's actually pummeling the East Coast right now, and it's expected to last through Wednesday. The governors of New York and New Jersey have both preemptively declared states of emergency and shut down schools. That's our old friend.
What is
Dominica
a Nor'easter?
Davis.
I've never heard of that.
Because you're from the West, you don't know these things. Look, it's
no, we have Nor'easters.
Why like, your kids have to stay home and drive you crazy from school all day.
So basically, this is a Nor'easter, like a low pressure zone, hangs out and like just churns water and debris from the ocean onto the land, and basically just hangs out there, right?
Yes.
Yeah. That's very good. That's my meteorological. I always found that really difficult to say. Meteorological. Can you guys all say that who are watching right now? Meteorological. Meteorological. Can you say it?
Meteorological.
No, I won't. You can't say it?
I don't want to.
Meteorological. Yeah, but it's going to be nasty. So they're under states of emergency in New York and New Jersey.
They are indeed.
And of course, they just got hit. Was it Hurricane Ida?
Yes.
A few months ago?
Yes. I think that was a bit more north. I don't know that it made full landfall in New York and New Jersey, but I could be wrong.
Well, certainly we saw the flooding that happened in New Jersey and all through Newark and everything else.
So. But climate change, folks, is the West Coast just got done with its own version of a nor'easter, and now David, did you see the bomb cyclone storm?
Did that hit you, the bomb cyclone?
I'm not sure. Tell me more, because what was it yesterday? We had so much wind and like rain and a little bit of hail. Like the wind was almost, or the rain was like coming down sideways, but only for like 10 minutes. And then it just completely stopped.
Yeah. There was that big storm that hit all the way up the, from about Northern California through Washington and Oregon.
And, wow.
Yeah. A lot of people, thousands were without power just for hours and hours. Okay, National Pumpkin Day is trending because that is today. It's an internet-created holiday to celebrate the harvest of the pumpkin and all the things that we can do with them. We brought a pumpkin over my shoulder here.
Is that made out of beans?
Did you know? What was that?
Peppers? Is it made out of peppers or something?
No, it's made out of straw.
Straw or something. Yeah.
Okay. It's just cool reusable looking. Decoration that lives in the holiday storage most of the year. Did you know that the oldest known pumpkin seeds come from Mexico all the way back between 7,000 and 5,000 BC? Now, the U.S. produces about 1.5 billion pounds of pumpkin, all mostly from the state of Illinois. Now, I grew several pumpkin this year myself, and having grown about two dozen pumpkin, I am anti-carve now. I do not think pumpkin should be produced for recreational purposes. I think pumpkin should be consumed. This is a food. I feel like it's so, this is going to be my cause to celeb. It's no pumpkin chicken.
Here we go. So
I don't want you to have
season, cheaply made. Every season, like, every year, Natalie gets a new cause to celeb. First one, it was
cloth
like
diapers.
Cloth diapers.
Anti-plastic.
Anti-plastics. And now it's anti-carving pumpkins.
Anti-carving of pumpkin, anti-chunking of pumpkin.
Oh yeah, where you put them on like the slingshot.
It's stinking wasteful. Okay, we're in a water crisis globally, and we grow food in order to just chuck it around and carve it up for entertainment purposes.
People are food insecure in the United States.
I cannot wrap my head around this. So I have all of these pumpkins now that I've grown, and my son is like, "Are we going to carve those?" And I was like, "I will harm you
if you
try to carve my pumpkins."
Can you do both?
So this is my pumpkin soup. This is what I made yesterday for lunch. With an immersion stick blender. And I have a secret ingredient is that if you put some sage in some browned butter for a few minutes and then blend that in, it gives it that nice like Thanksgiving stuffing time. So anyway, I am very pro cooking of savory foods, sweet foods with the pumpkin. We should be eating them. I do not think we should be carving and chunking them.
But don't you carve them to cook them? Like, couldn't you do both?
You can do both.
And
you
by the way,
absolutely can.
Is it pumpkin chunkin'? I thought it was pumpkin chucking.
I think it's pumpkin chunkin'.
Is it chunkin'?
Yeah, that would make sense so that it rhymes.
Wow. Lisa says, I had 3 acres of pumpkins. Holy smokes.
Okay, good. Wow. I mean, pumpkins are so healthy for you. And now, you know, we live in Europe and they don't make sweet foods out of them. They think that that's super strange. So we have a lot of savory foods made with pumpkins. And I can't stand the idea of wasteful resources.
Someone in our chat says,
I'm such a bah humbug. I'm a Halloween bah humbug.
You are.
But please eat your pumpkins.
Someone
please
in our chat, will you post it in the community tab on YouTube? If you follow the channel, Natalie will post her pumpkin recipe.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
You should have put that in the newsletter.
Pumpkins.
Yeah. Okay, maybe tomorrow I will sometime this week I will, because I've been having this little exchange with my niece who lives in Pennsylvania, where she taught me how to play an instrument out of grass. And I was like, okay, I'll teach you something. So we're just like sending each other videos. So I made this for her so that she can learn to make pumpkin soup. And I would love to share the recipe. It's delicious.
Okay, so tomorrow in the newsletter, that you got to subscribe to the newsletter, just go to morninginvest.com. It's totally free. If you're not already a subscriber of the newsletter.
It will be in Thursday's newsletter. Sorry, because I have a plan.
Okay, already. All right. Thursday's newsletter. The pumpkin recipe will be in there. The pumpkin soup recipe will be in Thursday's newsletter, but you got to subscribe. Go to morninginvest.com. It's totally free and you get a great newsletter. Plus you'll get a pumpkin soup recipe on Thursday.
Just in time to have it for Halloween night.
Yes.
Oh, perfect. I got a question for you though. A lot of people are saying, couldn't you just use, couldn't you carve the pumpkins and still use them?
Absolutely. You can do that. Just don't like chuck it in a forest.
Okay. So you're just anti-throwing
but
the pumpkin.
But a lot of people carve it and then let it rot there.
Like a squirrel comes up
and eats it. And a squirrel comes up and eats it. Yeah. So, okay, carve it, take that in, roast those little pieces, right? And then the next night, just come and like scrape it off a little bit, put it in the oven, roast it for, I don't know, like I roast it probably for about an hour at a low, I'd say about 300, 325. And then, no, that's too high. Probably 300. And then put it in the blender or just chuck it in your soup.
Oh, you're 300, okay to 301. You're okay to chuck
it in
the soup.
If you really need to chuck things, chuck it into a soup.
Just don't chuck it into a field and hit
a
scarecrow.
It's good for you.
There was a place in New Jersey that we went to where they had literally like multiple slingshots and you'd pay.
I couldn't even watch it.
And they were like, vroom, and you would shoot it. And I guess you got like a free pumpkin, which made no sense. I think you would get a free pumpkin.
Waste one, get one.
Yeah, waste a pumpkin by shooting one, and then you would get a free pumpkkin or a free ice.
I can't.
What are those donuts? The apple cider donuts?
Oh, the apple cider donuts.
Oh, my God. If you've never had an apple cider donut, you are not.
I don't know that I've ever heard of those.
What?
What is wrong with you?
You're not living.
That's strange.
It's the wrong button.
That's for your paranormal post. That's
right. You've got to try apple cider donuts, and they'll put a little sugar too, like a little cinnamon sugar.
But you know, I'm a West Coaster too, and I hadn't had any until I got married and moved to the East Coast.
I had to show her what was what. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. It's one. Well, Janet says, yeah, it's one time a year. So why take the fun out of carving with your children? I get that, but just do it.
And then eat it.
Just don't throw it against, in a field.
Right.
Or put it on your porch to rot.
We don't grow. America is the land of like so much plentiful that we just take edible food and play with it as toys.
No other countries. I just can't imagine like, you know, in other countries that like just don't have enough food. They're like, wait a minute, you do what with your food? You put it in slingshots and shoot it at people?
You carve it and then leave it out to rot. Okay. Yeah. I know I'm no fun, but you don't have to be married to me. So you just watch me on YouTube.
Right. You don't have to be married to her.
You never had it so good.
You need to do the da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
I'm not a witch. I'm your wife.
I'm not a witch.
Princess Bride quote.
Yes.
Marriage.
It's what brings us together.
Well, how do you just have that?
Marriage is what brings us together today.
I'm Wob.
Well, now we're going to have to tell them that to get the copyright claim removed.
We'll see. Oh, all right. Well, that's going to do it for the show today, everyone. Let's put a little bow on that trending for today. Oh, did I do it? Yeah, there we go. We'll be back tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel. Just make sure you don't go out and chuck any pumpkins. It is chunkin', by the way. It's pumpkin chunkin'.
Did you Google it?
Yeah, there's all these sorts of videos on YouTube about pumpkin chunking where people build like catapult contraptions and all this stuff.
Not catamarans. Is that what it's
called? I'm going to go flag all of those channels.
Just be a good use of the day. Of your time. Yeah.
That's what I'm going to do. Yeah,
you should not be flicking pumpkins. You are like already like turning into a Karen. You know that?
A bit.
Volunteer to go catch Karen. Them and cook them.
Right.
Volunteer to set up nets to catch the pumpkin, hit the scarecrow, but catch the pumpkin, and then you make a big stew for everybody to enjoy for the day for saving the pumpkins.
He's always thinking.
There we go.
Yeah.
Or just take responsibility.
He's always thunking.
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. That's going to do it for the show today. Much love. Hey, we're going to go see James Bond tonight. The new, what is it called? Golden Finger? No, it's called No Time to Die.
Golden Finger.
No Time to Die. No Time Left to Die.
No Time to Die.
No Time to Die. I can't wait. I'm excited.
Don't finally get sick again at the theater.
No.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much. And we'll see you here tomorrow. Save the pumpkins.
Yeah. Save. Much love, everyone. We'll see you next time. Thanks. Bye.